20 years is more of a hand clap for my wife than it is for me, that is for sure. Without your wife, you cannot be a preacher. My wife is the number one reason that I'm able to preach beyond the Lord. She keeps me in line. She's the one that completes me. And if you husbands would think a little bit, you'd allow your wife to help you. If my wife was not with me, I would not be able to be a preacher. I could do things for the Lord, certainly wouldn't stop me from doing things for the Lord, but I couldn't have the ministry that I have today if it were not for my wife. 20 years, it seems like it's gone by awfully fast, I'll tell you that. But 20 years anymore, and I'm very appreciative of what Brother Bobby said, the ministry is highly difficult. And it's because it's almost as though you are not allowed to be sinners in the ministry. You're not allowed to make mistakes without being highly scrutinized, and rightly so, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, we are just humans, and the ministry is a very difficult thing. And for my wife, she's lived the ministry. That's all she's ever known. She hasn't known anything else. So the last thing she wanted 20 years ago was a preacher. And she got one.
Amen.
So Tammy, thank you for being the most wonderful wife I could ever have, that's for sure. And thank you for a wonderful 20 years. And we will have, until the rapture comes, whatever the rest of the years are. Don't know how many there are, but we're going to have the rest of them together, like it or lump it. You've got me. You've got me. I'm the one that God chose for you. So blame God when you have disagreements to that. I'm just going to give you my heart today. I'm so proud, and you should not be proud, but I don't care. I am today, to be part of this church. The things that we do at Bethel, sometimes we wonder if they make a difference. We wonder if it's really worth it. We wonder sometimes if putting the fuel in the buses is too expensive, or we worry about bringing those kids here, or we worry about having ministries that maybe bring folks in that don't look a lot like us or don't act a lot like us. And Bethel, I'm going to tell you, and I tell a little bit of this in Sunday school, Jesus didn't stop by to people that look good. Jesus didn't come here to save the Pharisees and the fancy dressers. I think we ought to look our best for the Lord. Please don't misread me, but Jesus came here to save us. He came here to save the lost man. And I had the wondrous opportunity yesterday to preach a funeral in the midst of a tragedy. 66-year-old man named Ernie King. 4 years ago, started coming to our biker ministry. Started coming to our blessings. Started coming to our little piglet run. He loved the little piglet run. He got the biggest kick out of the fact that we went out to the pavilion and had church out there. He just loved that. He loved the fact that his buddy spun out his big Honda in the big puddle that one day. But he loved being here. And he passed away on Sunday. He shined up his trike. And I don't even know this fellow that well, but I'm so overwhelmed with the ministry that we have here. He shined up his bike on Saturday, and he was home with the Lord on Sunday. He told his wife, "There's two more good rains and we'll be able to start riding again." They just sat down and made out their calendar for the year and said, "The little piglet's coming up in August. We're going to have to go to that one." They were going to cut back a little bit this year, but decided that we wouldn't be ones that they would cut back on. His wife came to me at calling hours, and she said, "I'm lost. I don't know what I'm going to do. He's everything to me. Without him, I'm going to be alone. My big house, my big yard, my farm, I'm going to be alone." And she said, in the midst of all this, when nothing is going right. I knew that the one thing that was right was having Bethel to the funeral. The title of my message this morning is just a little while longer. And folks, you got to understand something. I want to minister to everybody. I saw 50 people, if it was one, come up and shake my hand or hug me and say they're so glad that we're here. Oh, it's got nothing to do with me. I don't care about that. It's got something to do with the Lord that we serve, though.
Yeah.
In church, I'm going to tell you something. What we do here matters. What we do for the folks matters. Introducing them to the Lord matters. Letting them know that there's a place, there's a people that love them and that care about them. That matters. I'm going to have you turn quickly to Mark chapter 13. I'm only going to read the second half of this one verse. Let's all stand together. Mark chapter 13, verse 13. I believe that the verses leading up to this verse, I believe that we are leading and we're doing ministry in these days. I believe that this is what we're facing in these days. This verse is not speaking of salvation of an eternal sense. This is speaking of salvation of a daily sense. This is speaking of salvation that the Lord gives to you in the midst of turmoil and trial to save people. This was issued to save people. This was speaking to save people. So certainly it's not talking about salvation. But what it is talking about is this: but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You ever feel like you're just about done? You ever feel like you're lost? You just don't know what direction you're going to head. This book, this ministry, our family, this is what we're here for. Let's go ahead and have prayer. I've got to start preaching. Brother Mike, could you lead in prayer, please? You may be seated. Thank you so very much for coming today. A man once said, anyone can give up. It's the easiest thing in the whole wide world to do. But to hold it together when everyone else would understand if you fell apart, that's true strength. The reason I'm talking to you about this today is that I was stopped in my tracks, and it doesn't happen very often. I was stopped in my tracks by a woman that had just lost, in her mind, at least one of the most important things that she could ever have. One of the most important things, and I sat at the table with my wife, and we spoke about this, how that lady just touched my heart. And she touched my heart because she didn't know what direction to go. She touched my heart because she didn't know where she now stood. She touched my heart because her whole world had gotten turned upside down on her. And I know that many of you in this room have had your world turned upside down on each other. And the reason I'm talking to you about this today is I want you to come to the realization of the importance of us. It's hard to get along. But you know what, folks? We are who we have. I don't have any other family outside of you. You are it. Not everybody gets along. Not everybody does everything you like. We're people. There's times that maybe we feel like giving up. There's times in our life, and by the way, everybody has done something to everybody in this room sometime or another to make them upset with what they just did. That's the life we live. And maybe rightly so. Maybe there was something along the line that you did that was out of line. Maybe there was something you did that maybe you shouldn't have done. But I've got to be honest with you. I want you to grab a hold of this now. This church was something that somebody out there looked to in their darkest hour. A stranger, not a stranger, but somebody that doesn't necessarily come here, was standing on the outside looking in and knew that they needed what we have. In the midst of being lost, in the midst of not understanding why, in the midst of losing hope, a thought came to her mind, a glancing moment that she had remembered where she found care, where she found happiness, where she found joy. That came through her mind and said, I don't know much, but I do know this. She didn't say, I've got to have Brother Dave involved. She didn't say, I've got to have Pastor Skyver involved. She says, I need Bethel. That's what she said. She said, I need Bethel. I need that church. I need that people. I need that people that cared enough in the midst of the ministry to have us come. I need those people that thought enough about the people that are out in this world, that thought about the stranger, thought about those that are around us. I got to have those people. Why? Because they've got that love. They've got that care. They've got that family that right now in the midst of me being lost, I know that I can find hope there. We've only got a little while longer. We've only got a little while longer before heaven comes. We've only got a little while longer. And I'm going to tell you, was every single thing of every single moment of the ministry that belongs to the biker ministry, is that something that has always gone well? No. Has there been bumps along the way? Has there been struggles and trials in that ministry? Have there been struggles and trials along with trying to get that up off the ground? Has there been struggles and trials? Sure there has. But what happens? What happens, Brother Jordan, if we stop? What happens if after the first year we stopped having it? What happens if that comes along and we don't have that ministry for that day and we don't have that direction that lady can come and we don't have that direction of the ministry? Folks, we've only got a little while longer. We will someday be saved from the turmoil that we're in the midst of. We will someday be saved from the turmoil that we have to face and the trials and the struggles and the work. Understand this, it is worth it. As I stood before that lady with the blessed honor and privilege to preach the Word of God to 200 people that perhaps have never heard it. It was because we care. Do you think that we are the only blessing that those folks attend? Do you think we're the only ride that they go on? Do you think we're the only church that they know? No. But Brother Carl, when it came time to find somebody in the midst of her darkest hour, she turned this way. She turned this way. Being a Christian is a difficult idea. We often hear every single day that, oh, I can't drink anymore. I can't do these things anymore. And rightly so. We need to preach against that stuff, and you need to clear them out of your life. I mean, come on. You need to get right with God. I don't understand the weight. I don't understand the desire to stay in those things. I just don't get it. I have a hard time with the world grappling so hard on us and us grappling so hard on the world. I don't understand it. But I do know this, that if we can we can endure this thing called life, if we can endure this thing called having a ministry in this world the way that it is, if we can endure these things and do these things that we ought to do. I mean, can you imagine Bethel stopping the bus ministry? It doesn't make sense. Paying a fortune out for fuel every single month, upwards of $2,000 per month. Doesn't make sense. Pastor Dave's talking about more buses. Good Lord, man. Amen. It doesn't make sense. But what if we don't endure? Bethel, we're a family here. They turn to us. They turn to us as being the ones that will stay with it. They turn to us that'll be the ones that'll grab our Bibles and let them know that Jesus loves them. We're the ones that they will turn to as a solid rock, that this is what Christ wants. The easiest thing in the whole wide world to do is to give up. But if we gave up, we would not have had that service yesterday. If we give up, we do not have that lady that look to us, look to us, look to... There's not a better church in the whole wide world. There's not a better church in the whole wide world. You may not agree with that, but I really don't care. I'm telling you right now, it's not because of us. It's because of Him, and it's because of the atmosphere of care that we have for the world and the care that we ought to have for each other. And I believe we do. I really do. I believe we have that here. I really do, because I think if we didn't have it, that the world would not turn to us in their darkest hour. Just a little while longer, we have to provide a place that these babies can go. Yes, I just called you babies. Just a little while longer, we have to have a place for our young people to see that we can still live godly and still live right. Just a little while longer. Why? Because we can make a difference and we can show them that this is what Christ can still have control. Just a little while longer, you've got to stay out of the world and show people the love of God. Just a little while longer, we've got to show them that this is where they can find love. Oh, preacher, all you're talking about is love. Do you know what? We could use a little bit of real love. We could use a little bit of real care. It's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy getting out of the world so you can minister to the world. Do you know you can't do both? You can't walk in the world and act as though you're going to minister to them. You must come out from among them, be ye separate, so you can ask them to come out from among them and be ye separate as well. If you're already in them, how can you be separate? When she came here, Bikers, when she came here, what did she see? Hey, this is what I thought of. What did she see? Did she see a place where she was not accepted? Think about this for a minute. You need to know what you do when you minister to people. You need to know what you do. Do you think that if they would have been greeted at the door with people that said, listen, you can't wear your leathers in here? By the way, don't let me ever hear you say that to somebody. Amen. don't let me ever hear you talk somebody down like that. I'm not going to take that real kindly. And I'm not going liberal here. I'm not. But I got to be honest with you. I don't believe Jesus asked the man that was there for 38 years to change his clothes before he ministered to him. Did he? I'm not going to put down a mandate that says that you need to dress this way to come to this church. You should want to. But I'm not going to stop people at the door and say sorry. I don't believe Jesus stopped people at the door. What did she find when she came here? Her husband had long hair. Should we still minister to him? He wore glasses and a bandana inside our church house. Could he possibly be ministered to? What did they find when they came here? Did they find hatred? Did they find condescension? I'll tell you what they found. When they came here, they found care. They found hope. They found love. And they found it because of you serving the Lord. As I stood there in front of those people and watched all those bikers that had a familiarity with us. It's the craziest thing ever. The familiarity with the church. The familiarity with people that care and people that love and people that want to do something for them. Bethel, it's just a little while longer. We've got to serve God. It's just a little while longer. We must continue these ministries. It's just a little while longer. We must make a difference. It's just a little while longer. We must serve in this world. It's just a little while longer. We must endure affliction. It's just a little while longer. We must do these things. Why? Because those out there need to know our Lord. Just a little while longer, we've got to run the buses. Just a little while longer, we've got to run the vans. Just a little while longer, we've got to have the school. Just a little while longer, we've got to have the choir. Just a little while longer, we've got to serve God. Why? Because the world needs us to. Just a little while longer, we've got to ride in those biker ministries with, man, boy, you look at, oh, I cannot believe. You know how many times I've had people say, you've got a motorcycle and you're a preacher? Sure, if you'd give me two, I'd take them. What has that got to do with anything? I was talking to the people that were there, and the one brother of Ernie said, boy, he always spoke fondly of your church. I've heard him do it, and it made a difference in his life. I don't care what anybody says to him. It made a difference in his life. What would have happened if we wouldn't? What would happen if we wouldn't have had the ministry? See, that's what got a hold of me. What happened if we wouldn't endured? When the first problem came, when the 30 members stayed home from church on that Sunday because the bikers were going to be here. Because I don't want to sit next to those people. What happens? What happens? What happens if you get your way and the ministry is shut down? What happens? What happens if the fuel becomes too expensive and we stop the buses? What happens? What happens if we stop the senior program because they really don't pay for the food they eat? What happens when the school shuts down because you're tired of the kids breaking stuff? Believe me, I don't think the kids ought to break stuff either. But I'll be a dead man that you're walking on before I allow you to shut the school down because you can't take the kids breaking stuff. Just a little while longer. Just a little while longer because we're making a difference. Just a little while longer because it does matter what we do. Just a little while longer because it does matter. It does matter. It does matter. Just a little while longer. It's just a little while that we have to suffer through these things. It's just a little while longer that we have to suffer through helping the people. It's just a little while longer that we have to be in this ministry and suffer through these things. It's just a little while longer. Sure, the world's going to hate us. It's just a little while longer. Sure, the crowd's going to despise us. But it's just a little while longer. Why? Because there's a lady out there that's lost today that has no idea what she's going to do. But this one thing is right, to have this church involved in her deepest and darkest hour. There's one thing that she knew. This was the place to go. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because we are here for just a little while longer. It may not make sense to you, but it makes perfect sense to me. There are times that we don't feel that we're making a difference. There are times that we feel what we do is for frivolity at the best. There's times that we do the things that we do, and I worry that people get tired, and I worry that people get worn, and I worry that people get bored, and I worry that people don't want to do it anymore. But it's just a little while longer. We are making a difference. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews. We're going to be in Chapter 11, this is the chapter of faith, and the Lord brags on some of the folks that stood faithful. He brags on some of the folks that just held out a little while longer. Not for salvation's sake, but for earthly salvation, for earthly give me a break, for earthly God helping. See what happened yesterday. What happened yesterday is God saved me. Not salvation. I've got that. God saved me. He showed me what we're doing matters. He showed me what we're doing is not in vain. Do you realize He's not going to save you out of the work? He's not going to tell you to stop working. He's going to show you that the work makes a difference. He's going to show you that what's happening matters. That rest is not going to come until we go to heaven. And I'm going to tell you right now, while we're here, look at this verse. In chapter 11, we're going to be looking at verse 13. All these people he named before, and by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. This is a list of men and ladies that really made a difference and held out and did these things faithful. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I know we're not going to be here long. I understand that we're just sojourners. But what we do while we're passing through matters. I served in the youth for 10 years. And I'm going to tell you right now, the one thing that broke my heart throughout all the years that I served is I didn't think it made a difference. Honest to goodness. I had lots of kids come through. I don't know of any that are serving God. I don't know. But would it have been right to stop? I don't know. I don't know what kind of job I did. I really don't. I don't know what kind of job I did to help others' lives. I really don't. I don't know. I can't see it. But I know a man who can see it. And he's let me know several times, no, you made a difference. But I got to see it firsthand yesterday. Not necessarily me personally making the difference. But what I did see is us making a difference. I mean, we can turn to Jude 22 and read that verse. And it ought to be the compassion that allows us to serve and makes us serve. Yes, it should. But what happens when your compassion runs out? Oh, no, my preacher, how dare you? My compassion is always coming forth like a fountain in a river from my heart of love and joy. I don't always have compassions of love and joy and rivers out of my heart in the school. I don't always have compassion of love and joy in my heart flowing forward when I'm counseling people who won't listen. Do you realize people come into the office and don't listen to the preacher? You're fantastic. You're my favorite. Why'd you call me? Why are you calling preachers? Why? Don't call if you're not going to do what the Bible says. Don't call. But what happens if we stop? Huh? What happens if we don't do it anymore? What happens if we allow? Yeah, our compassion may dry up some days. I'm admitting that to you. Our compassion may dry up and it may go away, but we ought to still just a little while longer serve God, just a little while longer until your compassion comes back. A little while longer, we ought to have fortitude inside of us that lets us know that even though we're not going to be here long and heaven is waiting on us, while we're here, we've got to care. We've got to serve. We've got to try to make a difference because it is making a difference. It is making a difference. It's making a difference because we serve this way a little while longer. Who knew that 4 years ago that couple that came here would eventually need our services during their darkest hour? Who knew? Who knew that this woman would make a statement that I am lost? Not lost spiritually, but lost in this world. Lost with what do I do next? Lost with how do I continue to go on? Think about this, and I want you, maybe it's not grabbing a hold of you like it grabbed a hold of me, but those of you who have stopped doing the work, you've got to get back in and do it a little while longer. Those of you who have ceased to be in the ministry and ceased to do things for God, you've got to get back in and serve just a little while longer. And if you've never gotten in, you need to get in. You need to get in because it is making a difference. And my heart's overwhelmed with the fact that this lady, her first step in being lost, her first step in not knowing which way to turn, her first step in the midst of losing everything that she held dear to her, her first step was turning to you. She didn't turn to you because you quit. She didn't turn to you as Bethel Baptist Church. She didn't turn to you because we stopped doing what God has asked us to do. She called here because we served God just a little while longer. All the hard work you do. And I don't have time to. And by the way, you shouldn't want your name to be named, but I don't have time to go through everybody that does everything in this church. I don't have time for it. And you shouldn't want that anyhow. But know this. Everybody that cooks a meal, everybody that sweeps a floor, everybody that cleans a bathroom, everybody that makes a flyer, everybody that rides a bus, drives a bus, captains a bus, cleans a bus, everybody that serves in super church, everybody that sits in church and praises God, everybody that sings in the choir and does solos, everybody that works with our youth and takes care of our youth, everybody that reads their Bible and prays, everybody that shows up and loves people and shakes their hand, everybody, you got to do it a little while longer because it's making a difference. I'm glad to know that when it came time for somebody to need Christ, to need my Lord, to need what we have, they turned here. They turned here. Bethel, you've got to continue to go on just a little while longer. We are strangers and pilgrims. The older I get, the less I understand the world around me. Honest to goodness, I don't get it. I don't get how they're in the midst of all this. We're the bad guys. I don't get in the midst of all this, in the midst of us caring and serving and doing all these things, that we are the bigots, we are the wrong ones, we are the ones that aren't doing the right thing. I don't get it. But you know what? God didn't ask me to get it. God asked me to keep going on a little further. What I saw yesterday was this. I saw a lady that knew where God was. Well, you ought to be happy about that, Bethel. I'm telling you right now, that made me want to shout. It made me want to shout that somebody knew, that didn't even go here, but they knew this is where God was. They knew where compassion was. You're it. You're the compassion. They knew where they were going to find hope. If you're not going to find hope here, why would you come here? Why would you seek this place out? Why would you need to have it? Listen, you're part of it. All of us, by the way. Don't look around the room and say, well, I'm hope, but they're not hope. They're not hope. They don't do anything for us. I'm tired of that attitude. I really am. I'm tired of the attitude that we're better than somebody else. I'm tired of the attitude that we think we've got more than anybody else. I'm tired. If you want to stop serving God, that's the road you go down right there. To hold out a little while longer, you're going to have to deal with the fact that you're going to have some problems with yourself. And usually those problems are cast off on somebody else. Well, good Lord, I'm serving God, but what's Mike doing? Well, that's amazing to me. How we can't wait to find out who wasn't on visitation. It's amazing to me we can't. See, that's when we are not going. That's when we're not going a little further. That's when we stopped. That's when we've stopped going. That's when we've stopped ministering. That's when we stop. When you don't want to do the biker ministry. When you don't want to do the buses. When you find out every reason in the whole wide world not to serve where God has asked us to serve. That's stopping. When the excuses come instead of the feet prints. When the excuses come instead of the getting out of your bed. When the excuses come instead of going to baseball games, you're coming to church. When the excuses come, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. That's when we're not going to make a difference. That's when we're not going to go forward. That's when we're not going to do right. But let me tell you, I know we were doing something right because that lady, when she needed somebody, she turned here. That is a giant responsibility. It's a giant responsibility because we can't let it stop. We can't let it stop. But why? I've been questioned. Why, Brother Dave, why do you want to have the revival so long? I've been questioned about that. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. If you have that question, you need to come. But let me tell you why I want to have it so long. Let me get this off my chest. Because I want to have church for everybody. I want everybody to see what's going on here. I want everybody to know who we serve. I want everybody to know the Lord that I know. I want everybody to see it. They're going to drive by and see that big fat tent. They're going to drive by and hear us having fun. They're going to drive by and hear about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, we're loud enough, they'll hear. I want them to know, and I don't want it to be just for a couple of days. I want it to be for long enough where they can make plans to come. I want it to be long enough where I can't take it anymore, preacher. I want them to hear the Savior. I want them to know the Savior. I want them to be part of us and make a difference for this community. Why don't we make a difference? Because we stop. But if we go a little while further, I promise you we'll make a difference. We are making a difference. We got to see the fruits of that difference making in the tears of a lady seeking something. She may not know everything, but she did know this. I want them involved. She didn't say, and I'll say this again, she didn't say I want Pastor Dave involved. She didn't say she wanted Pastor Skyver involved. She said I want Bethel involved. Now you can get proud and haughty about that, but it ain't about that. Bethel, you made a difference in somebody's life. You made a difference. You did. Made a difference. It could be a handshake or an embrace or a look or a hello. It made a difference, and they knew they were welcome here. They knew they were welcome as part of us. I don't want anybody to ever feel like they're not. I want them to know that this is where God is. I want them to know that this is where my Savior is. We're not perfect. We mess up quite often. But aren't you glad to know that you're in a church full of people that mess up quite often? Huh? Aren't you glad to know that you're in a church that even though you mess up, we care about you? How many times have I messed up in 20 years? Huh? Don't answer that, son. Your answer should be none, Mr. Ballard. You're wonderful all the time. Go ahead and say it. I've messed up tons. Preachers messed up tons. So have you. But this is where God is. Go tell your friends this is where God is. Go tell the people that you love that this is where you'll find love. Go tell the people that are around you this is where you're going to find care. Hey, by the way, a biker knew it. I wonder if you told your friends if they would know it. I wonder if you told your friends and showed them that this is where the love of God is. I wonder if you told them that, well, preacher, you preach against sin all the time. That's because we love you. Why do you preach against the world? Because the world is stupid. Why do you preach against the world? Because the world has taken more lives down than you can even imagine. We're strangers and pilgrims here. But we've got to make a difference in this world. Why do we preach against sin? Because sin is bad. And if you don't tell people about bad, then how in the world can they love you? We've got to make a difference. We've got to go just a little further. We've got to continue. We're it. We gotta. We've got to continue. As I looked in her eyes, the only thing came to my heart. The ones that endure, those are the ones that are going to be saved. In this world, they'll be, not salvation, not eternity. But the Lord gave me a rich, rich blessing on Saturday. A rich blessing that let me know I'm part of some of the greatest people on the planet. That's a responsibility, isn't it? I'm part of some of the greatest people on the planet. Because we serve the greatest God in the universe. the only God in the universe. He was introduced to this lady. And when she needed him, she turned to us. Whew. Doesn't that give you joy to know that you're doing something that makes a difference? Doesn't that make you feel like, God, boy, you really are real and you're really making a difference? Bethel, you can take great joy in that. What you do means something. What we do in this place means something. Let's just go a little further. Let's go a little further. Let's go just a little further. Let's go just a little further. Oh, it's hard, but let's go just a little further. Let's go just a little further because there's going to be somebody this year that's going to need us. Let's go just a little further because there's going to be a bus kid coming. Let's go just a little further because there's going to be a senior that's going to need us. Let's go just a little further because a biker is going to come. Let's go just a little further. We can't quit now. Let's go just a little further. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the honor that it is to serve you. And the honor that it is to serve you with Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, I believe we're making a difference. I believe we're making the difference, a difference in the lives of young people. I believe we're making the difference in the lives of teenagers. I believe we're making difference in the lives of college and career and the lives of middle age and the lives of seniors. I believe we're making a difference. I believe we're making a difference in this world with the biker group. I believe we're making a difference in the nursing home. I believe we're making a difference in every facet of every ministry at Bethel Baptist Church. Why? Because we're focused on you. That's what makes the difference. So excited to be able to minister to that lady and to those people that were there. Why? Because we went just a little further. Lord God, please help to convince the people of Bethel Baptist Church that they really do make a difference in everything that they do. When they do it for you, they make a difference. Lord God, help us today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say they know that they know that they know, 100% sure that if they died right now, that they would go to heaven? Can you put your hands up real big and tall? You know for sure you've been saved. You've asked the Lord to save you. You may put them down. I didn't see many hands that didn't go up. Matter of fact, I didn't see one, but I still want to ask. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I give you my word, but I will say this, that if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I worry that you're going to go to hell. You've come here today and lost, looking for something. I'm just glad that you came here. I hope you find it. I hope you find that Lord you're looking for. I hope you find that fulfillment of that void that's in your chest. I hope you find that one thing that seems to be missing. I can tell you that one thing is Jesus Christ. I can tell you that one thing is Him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's nothing to do with what you're doing with your life or what you're doing in your life. It's got something to do with what He can do in your life. You've got to deal with Him. And He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to make a difference in you. You just have to let Him. Would there be one that would say, you know what, I really don't know that if I died right now I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Could you put your hand up real big and tall for me? Would there be one? I see that. I see those two hands back there. Would there be more? Would there be more? This is the time. Now is the time. We're going to have invitation in a few minutes, and I pray that we come forward and we get this settled with God. I pray for the hands that went up that they'll come up. We'll lead you to Christ. We'll show you. Dear Jesus, we've got to go a little further. We've got to go a little further because this world needs Bethel Baptist Church. We've got to go a little further because we're making a difference. We've got to go a little further. This is where you want people to be, God. This is where you are. We've got to go on. Lord, you'll help us. You'll save us along the way. You'll give us that love and that joy that we need to. You'll give us that, Lord, but along the way, we've got to continue to go on. Lord, I'm so thankful that we made a difference in the King's lives. We made a difference for the King in the King's. Lord, I thank you for that. You're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. And Lord God, I can't believe that you use sinners to make a difference, but you really do. Lord, please squeeze this church this morning. Please, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, would you please?